Okay, now here in lesson 17, now we've already explained in lesson 16 what is evolution. Now we're looking at the implications. So, in slide one, if evolution is a fact, what's the logical conclusion? Listen to William Proving, Cornell University evolutionary biologist and historian. Here's what he says. If Darwinism is true, then there are five inescapable conclusions. Number one, there's no evidence for God. Number two, there's no life after death. Number three, there's no absolute foundation for right and wrong. Number four, there's no ultimate meaning for life. And number five, people don't really have free will. Now, this is just what we explained a moment ago in one of our lessons when we talked about the difference, the contrast between secular humanism and biblical Christianity. That was lesson 10, where we showed the clash of worldviews that's going on right now here in our culture. And we ended by saying the knowledge transfer in secular humanism is evolution. This is the logical conclusion that you're being taught, our kids are being taught in school, that are the implications for evolution. And William Proving is just one of many professors out there in universities that are telling our teenagers these things. So, what does Richard Dawkins think? He's probably the most noted atheist evolutionist out there in our culture today. And here's what he says. He's an Oxford University evolutionary biologist, and out of his book, Out of Eden, here's what he wrote. In a universe of blind physical forces and genetic replication, some people are going to get hurt, and other people are going to get lucky. And you won't find any rhyme or reason to it, nor any justice. The universe we observe has precisely the properties we should expect if there is at the bottom, number one, no design, no purpose. Number two, there's no evil and no good. Nothing but blind, pitiless indifference. DNA neither knows nor cares, it just is. And we dance to its music. So, what's the message of an evolutionary worldview? Your life is ultimately meaningless. There's a great video we've attached coming from Richard Whitehurst, who talks about the biology of the Second Reich, social Darwinism, and the origins of World War II. I highly encourage you to take a minute, watch that video. It will really open your eyes to the history behind the Nazi regime, the Holocaust, and their belief in Darwinian evolution. Now we go to slide number two. Here we're looking at what is the meaning of my life? And we're going to take a quick look at two historians, two philosophers, and what they had to say about that. Why do you get up in the morning? Have you ever thought about what your purpose is? What's your end game in life? I mean, every day most people do think about this, but many people don't. Listen to Leo Tolstoy, what he wrote. My deeds, whatever they may be, will be forgotten sooner or later, and I myself will be no more. Why do I do anything then? If then, could I not attach a rational meaning to a single act of my entire life? The only thing that amazed me was how I had failed to realize this from the very beginning. How could anyone fail to see this? That's what is amazing. In other words, it dawned on him that his life, after all his accomplishments, ultimately has no meaning in a secular worldview. And then one of the most famous atheist philosophers in history, Bertrand Russell, here's what he wrote. We are the product of causes that have no prevision of the end they were achieving. That is the origin of our growth, our hopes and fears, our loves and beliefs. They're all but the outcomes of an accidental collocation of atoms. All for our labors, all of our devotion, all of our geniuses are destined to the extinction in the vast death of the solar system. Pretty cheery stuff, huh? Only within the scaffolding of these truths, only within the firm foundation of yielding despair, can the soul's habitation be safely built. What a bunch of nonsense. He actually thinks people should come to grips with the fact their life has no meaning, and only by facing up to those truths can you have a safe habitation for your soul? Absolutely not. Anybody knows that's nonsense. Nobody lives that way. So the question ultimately is, don't I hope there's an ultimate meaning for why I do what I do? we've attached the video that Tim Keller presented at a Veritas forum, where he actually talked through these very two folks, and he went through this discussion with a group of university students. So take a listen, and this should really resonate with people. What are the implications of an evolutionary worldview?